In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And over the course of the seven-day creation, God ordered the cosmos to be a holy habitation for himself. And this story of 7 days isn't there to give us a play-by-play chronology, but it's there to give us something much more profound. It tells us that this material creation that we touch, that we see, that we smell, that we hear, was designed to be the temple of the infinite, the uncontainable God. You see, in the ancient world that the creation story belonged to, temples were associated with the number 7. 7 days of building, and then the deity would come and rest upon the temple. And on the 7th day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Creation is his temple. God came near, but still not near enough. King David wanted to build a temple for the Lord from our reading in Samuel, but it was his son Solomon who would ultimately build it. And this is from 1 Kings. He was 7 years in building it. There's that number 7. And a cloud filled the house of the Lord so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. Then Solomon said, "The Lord has said that he would dwell in thick darkness. I have indeed built you an exalted house, a place for you to dwell in forever." This was the temple in Jerusalem. God came nearer still, but still not near enough. "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." Jesus is the temple. God has come near. And this is the miracle of Christmas. The infinite took on finite flesh. The unborn was born of a virgin. The Word became flesh and dwelt, or tabernacled, or templed among us. Why? Because our own temples were getting us nowhere. God made every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, that we should seek God and perhaps feel our way toward him and find him, because it's in him we live and move and have our being, because we are his offspring. But we kept falling short. We kept building faulty temples. You see, we are at heart temple builders because we long for what temples promise us: a meeting place with the divine. Consider the stadium temple, where the divine swell of 100,000 voices unite to praise the cosmic battle of good versus evil, the home team versus the enemy. But it's still not near enough. It's just a game. Or the club temple, where the pounding of music and the sight of flesh and other eyes staring back at ours invite us to lose ourselves in a divine ecstasy of some sort of timeless escape. But even when the morning comes, the emptiness hits, the phone call doesn't come, it's still not near enough. Or consider the home temple, where 4 walls and a roof provide a divine shelter of peace against the forces of chaos that are in the outside world. But even your home has its own sort of chaos. It's still not near enough. Or the market temple, where divine riches lie under divine lights and they promise to comfort you and to meet your needs, to ease your sorrows. But all of this stuff rots. It's still not near enough. Or the university temple, where a degree promises us a place among the divine elite until we are cast out into the hell of social ostracism because we have violated the ideology of the day. It's still not near enough. or the career temple, where our lives are sacrificed on the divine altar of a successful name, an inflated bank account. But divine virtue is more than just the foolish boast of just boasting of how busy you are. It's still not near enough. Or the social media temple, where we devote hours to this divine thrill of a dopamine rush. But it's a fleeting, it's an addictive, and it's a controlling shell of intimacy. It's not near enough. Or the TV temple, where stories give us a sense of the divine. They give us a sense of being something beyond our meager lives. But these stories have no staying power, and they have no way of impacting our story, of shaping our story. It's still not near enough. Or consider this city temple, this city that we live in, which millions of people look to across this country and across the world for power and for protection, for meaning, for identity. But political schemes fail. Empires all fail. It's still not near enough. We keep building temples, grasping for some contact with the divine. But we look down and we find our hearts and our hands empty. The identities, the escapes, all the salvation we are after, it's just still not near enough. But God came near. God, the God, entered the human world of hunger and thirst, of soul hunger and soul thirst. God, the God, came in temple flesh so that when we reach out for that thing that we're craving, that identity, that intimacy, healing, provision, peace, power, protection, glory, eternity, greatness, meaning, purpose. When we reach out for those things, our hands would close on God Himself. God Himself, who is not up there or out there somewhere, but who is right here with sweaty feet and tears and dirty hands and fatigue and hunger, flesh and longing, all to show that now, because the divine came near to us, we can come near to the divine. As God became flesh, so we might become God. Now, I didn't say that. I'm not the first to say that. Athanasius said it way back in the 4th century. And no, he didn't mean that we would cease to be ourselves and that we would become God. He was dressing up his words. But he did it, he said it that way, because he wanted to capture just an inkling of what it is that we rejoice in at Christmas. The God in whom the worlds are contained, contained himself in a human womb, so that we, contained in the womb of this world, might be born into that grand temple that we long for. God himself. God came near to us so that we might come near to him. God came to be in us, so that we might be in him. Why are you here tonight? What temple did you come to find tonight? What temple remedy are you most desperate for? Loneliness, meaning, relief, purpose, forgiveness, cleansing from shame. And what crumbling temples do you haunt throughout the week that hold no real divinity? Your image, your fantasies. Christian or non-Christian, why are you here? And it doesn't matter why you decided to be here. Let me tell you why God is here. Or better yet, why God brought you here tonight. To come into you, so that you might come into him, to make you his temple, so that he might be your temple. In a unique way in history, God made Mary his temple. He took her flesh. He lived in her womb. But in that event of the incarnation, we have this image of what God wants for all of us. If we are going to find the divine temple that is at the back of all the longings that we chase after, whether they're base or noble, if we're going to find the divine temple, we have to become the divine temple. If we are going to get near to God, God has to get near to us. If we are going to get into God, God is going to have to get into us. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Now imagine that you were desperate to get to Florence, Italy, to see Michelangelo's David. But for some reason, no matter how hard you tried, you just couldn't make it. But then imagine that by some freak event, and this would be a freak event, David was coming to you to be in your house. Now first, you'd have to knock out the ceiling to contain 17 feet of this glorious marble wonder, right? And wouldn't he look out of place in your house? Wouldn't he look out of place with the decor that you have right now? As fancy as your home may be, he would look out of place. Renovations of the highest order would be in order to make the environment something fitting for something so glorious. And here's the point. When God comes to make you his temple, he comes to make you his temple. He will transform you into a holy habitation. He will make you fit to hold the divinity that you have been grasping for. Because if you really want to touch the divine, you have to be willing to become divine. If you really want to reach out to God, you have to let him reach into you and renovate you. And this is not easy. This is scary. And I think that's why we chase after and we construct all these other temples. They give us a sense of the other. They give us a sense of the divine, the transcendent, an escape, a meaning, a purpose, something that touches glory. But we get to remain Lord. Transcendence now, but on my terms. Divinity now, but I am God. And meanwhile, God, the God, has come near in Jesus, and he is at the door with everything that you long for. It is not easy. It is scary, but it's good. It is good. What are the temples that you inhabit? All of them, if they're not God, are tombs that will bury you. They will not give you the divine life you long for. So flee them. And when you find yourself again stepping into them to sniff them out again, maybe it'll be different this time. Turn back. Close the door. It's false deliverance. It's a false identity. It's a pleasure, but with ever diminishing returns. Don't chase after empty temples to inhabit. Let the temple inhabit you. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word, Mary said. Let it be. Let it be. God did not impose himself on Mary. Let it be, she said. Let it be. God did nothing before he heard those words. And will you make those your words tonight? The incarnation happened. God inhabited and will forever inhabit human flesh. But when you've reached out, and you've reached out, and you've still come up void of the divine, will you finally turn to God who has reached into humanity, who stands near? He's ready to bring his divinity into you. And will you say the words, let it be. Let it be. I don't know what temples you've been worshiping in. You know. God knows. What names you glory in, what identities you cherish, what experiences you think you can't possibly bear to let go of, what wounds you think he can't possibly address for you, what guilt you're still trying to atone for, what altars you're sacrificing your time and your image to. But will you confess tonight that those and all other human temples don't come near enough? And will you confess that in Jesus, God did come near? He wants to come near to you. He wants to come into you. And will you say, let it be? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.